Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to Sean Navarro, a.k.a. The Relayer. This is a good old Poway reunion. My favorite part of his interview was him talking about him surviving a fentanyl overdose and how he got sober. He has 9 months clean and sober. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Don't sleep on it. Keep watching. We have a very special guest tonight. It's a high school Poway reunion. I haven't seen this guy in 30 years. Please welcome Sean Navarro, a.k.a. The Relayer. What's up, player? Oh, man, it's been a while. How you feeling, man?
It's been a long time, man. Grateful to be here, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Can we start off like, hey, cheers. Hey, let's open our energy drinks together. I got you. On your sobriety.
Yeah, man.
Because you caught me. Because I hadn't talked to you. Well, seriously, how long has it been? You came to visit me Echo Park, Silver Lake. Remember I was living with Bob up in the...
I think I came to visit you here one time. Like maybe like, this was probably like close to 20 years ago though. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been here that long, but...
18 in here.
Yeah. I just a couple weeks ago on the 9th of this month, I just took a ninth month chip, you know.
Dude, that makes me happy, man. And so, I mean, we'll get into all the stories, man, because out of all, let's give him some context, because we had a crew back in the day. Called the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Who came up with it?
I think we were like hanging out after school over at Joe On's house.
Shout out to Joe. Shout out to our buddy Joe On.
Anthony Lee.
Anthony.
John Lee.
Rich Salo. Bill Lundy.
Jim Gassetti.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Glenn Aranis.
Glenn Aranis.
Mikey Galina.
But we all had a group, and should I grab the yearbook real quick? Because
if you want to, man.
Because so at the end of the year, the seniors get to pay money to get their own spread in the yearbook. And what these guys did, because they were stoners. We were all stoners, but they were creative. And so they, out of the photos, they created a marijuana leaf. Yeah. And you do know that, because you know I talked to my cousin Eddie. You remember Eddie?
Mm-hmm.
He even said, because of our class, we're not going to say the class, but they enforce stricter rules.
Yeah.
So I'll be right. Hold up. Let me see here. Hopefully I can hide the date. So let's hide the date. I'm hiding the date because it's going to outdate us because we're close to Mr. Miyagi age right now. We're getting there. So this is... Poway High, and Do you remember if Tom, was Tom DeLonge nice to you?
He was cool. You know, I remember he used to get kind of like rejected to do gigs back then.
So you remember?
Yeah, I remember him.
Remember the keggers? No one cared.
Yeah, but you know, I remember he had like a good blueprint of how to like blow up like in music. You know what I mean?
But you know what the thing about Tom? And there's no shade on Tom. We love Tom.
Yeah.
Everybody liked him. The surfers, the skaters, yeah, the jocks. Everybody loved Tom. He was, wasn't it, homecoming king?
Yeah, he was like, you know, he was a fun guy to be around. You know what I'm saying? He had a sense of humor. You know, but in high school.
So this is it.
He really didn't get a chance to show off his skills.
Yeah, but I just remember he used to, and Blink wasn't formed back then, right? I mean, check it out, dude. Let's show the. You can't see much. Wait, let me just put it in front of
the. Those were the days, though, man. You know.
But, yeah, those were the days. And you guys, man, I mean, because the thing about you is you introduced me. I was kind of into hip hop, but you introduced me to most of it. I owe it to you, bro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you weren't from, like, Anthony I grew up with and all, you know, Joe came, like, his freshman year. But you came down from Anna. You drive down, and you had the Wu-Tang Protect Your Neck cassette tape. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then you had all these groups. I'm like, who's Main Source or who's this? You had all of it.
I remember I went to go see Wu-Tang in Hollywood way back then. And Ghostface, Tony Starks, used to wear like, you know, like a fencing mask on stage. You know, this is before like, you know, he revealed his identity.
But this is before they drop 36 Chambers.
Yeah, but this is when, like, you know, he used to, like, wear the fencing mask on stage.
That's,
you know what I'm
crazy.
Saying?
You never told me. Was that around?
And it was, like, the first time that I ever seen that many people on stage rocking a hip-hop show. You know what I'm saying? And
that impacted us. That tape impacted us. We were like, who's Wu-Tang?
Yeah, Wu-Tang.
We thought they were Asian. I'm like, are they Asian? Because the name.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I'm saying?
I used to bump that in the MPC, brother.
Yeah.
You remember those days?
Yeah.
And this is another story, and we kind of brushed upon this. We discovered the Far Side kind of during that time in 91, 92.
Mm-hmm.
The distillery. So we used to, there used to be a thing called house dancing, and it was like, kind of like b-boying. You didn't hit the ground.
Yeah.
It would be mostly like, you know, the like. What's this with the troop?
Yeah, this is like when dudes used to wear like L.A. gears.
L.A. gear,
and
yeah.
like, you know, used to wear like Jerbos and like used to wear like rayon shirts.
Yeah,
you know,
polka
like, you know,
dot,
the,
remember
yeah,
the polka dot
the
shirts?
Colorful prints.
Kwame,
yeah,
the
you
Boy
know,
Genius, all that.
Like Chess King and like U-Man and all that,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Z Cavaricci's, like that era, you know what I'm saying?
And
which
I
was,
have to admit, I was jealous of you and Anthony's attire. You guys always had the best gear out of all of the art group. I mean, you had every you had some colors, different colors of Jerbos.
I remember you guys, like, back in the day, used to rock, you know, hockey jerseys.
Used to rock
like, you know, like this, the Blackhawks jersey.
Yeah.
With the red LA gears back in the
that.
Day. Yeah,
you remember
and
the red ones I had? Yeah.
And I remember Anthony used to rock the, what do you call it? He had a Oakland A's jersey.
Yeah.
And he used to rock with the, you know, the green LA gears.
Anthony, if you're out there, I don't know.
No
please
doubt,
reach
brother.
Out to us. We love you, brother. And that's family, dude. You know. But anyway, Distillery was a club in Escondido, California, near... Kind of near Poway.
Escondido, yeah.
We would, in your Suzuki Samurai, we would sneak. Was it school nights too? Would you say Sundays? Or
all I remember about like school nights back then, man, once I had my license.
We're going to get to the alcohol. We're going to get to the beers after.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to the all that, the fake ID.
Yeah, but. Because
he's
know,
the one that had it.
I was like, I was McLovin before Fogle was.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And that's when you got in with everybody.
Yeah,
like the football team was hanging out.
I was afforded to be able to go to these parties because I could
because you got
used to get the kegs, used to get the cases of beer,
and the
bottles of Southern Comfort, I remember like Wednesday nights, you know, I'd be taking like 340s to the neck and have to go to school like the next day. You know what I mean?
I used to pound those bad boys.
Yeah, you know,
I kind of learned to drink just hanging out with you guys, to be honest. But distillery, we were there one night, and I'm like, I don't know if we even knew, like, I didn't know who I was there to see, but I remember, you know, like, the distillery was a smaller club, and I'm like, well, how are they going to perform? And I'm looking at the stools, let me get to it, and I see a Far Side sticker, and it's like a fire hydrant and a dog, it's a yellow, black, and white sticker, and I'm like, what is this, Far Side? And I just remember watching these cats perform, like, in my jaw drop, I'm like, oh, these cats are from L.A. Or do you remember Fat Lip was doing like sit-ups on stage?
Yeah.
And they rocked the fucking house. I'm like, they were like, it was cool because like I always thought like.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Because we're from Poway, San Diego. I'm like, I thought these LA dudes are supposed to be like hard, like kind of gangster dudes, but they weren't. They're like, they had the skater vibe. Vans and shit.
Yeah, they were kind of like that alternative, like, you know, hip hop group that like was like the first on the scene. You know, this is even before like Hi-Ro. And
so we discovered the Far Side. I want to get to the Hi-Ro thing too, because remember you peeped me to. Oh, Hi-Ro's about to battle Hobo Junction. I'm like, who's Hobo Junction? You're like, and you and your brother used to meditate on Saphir hard.
Yeah, because I mean, he was super ill, man. I think he was like way ahead of his time. You know what I'm saying? Like, misunderstood because you know, he was so far ahead of everybody else.
Well, just that his rhyming structure was it's kind of like a jazz musician where he would pause, and then you know.
I mean, if you listen to that album today.
What, Boxcar Sessions?
Boxcar Sessions,
still holds
man.
Up, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it still holds up. It's probably one of my top 10 albums like, of all time. Yeah, for sure.
I remember just visiting you and your bro when the Anaheim house. I think your uncle, your who's the trumpet player?
My Lolo.
Your Lolo
my
lived
grandfather,
there.
Yeah.
And then Larry would come out and he was like, he was going to drop a hit of acid and listen to Boxcar Sessions. And he'd always like you guys would always analyze him like, oh yeah, he's on some shit.
Telling you, man, if you read like, you know, his lyrics in that album, I mean, he's on some like, you know, some craziness, dude.
Was
like
he on drugs, you think?
I mean, he had to have been. He's from the Bay, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know like, you know, what the culture is like up there, but if you look at like where he was lyrically versus everybody else, I mean,
He was different.
He was
too.
Advanced. He was advanced.
Because
you
had your like catch rat kind of like UMCs or Dream Warriors or the Wascals, like kind of the zany type dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had your kind of like the stylistic dudes that rap fast, like the Freestyle Fellowship dudes.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna get to Hi-Ro because they had a huge influence. I still love Del. But so the Far Side kind of like opened up my eyes, and I'm like, and I always loved the Beastie Boys.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like, I think it was your your crib up in Anaheim, but you had a picture of, it was like Beastie Boys were in there. And yeah. then it was, I think it was like
major influence, bro. Major influence.
So what would you say? Because back then, you know, you introduced me to Main Source and all these other groups. Oh, Jungle Brothers.
Jungle Brothers was another one. Of course, De La Soul. Rest in peace,
rest
the true.
In peace, rest in peace, the true boy.
You know, Tribe, of course. You know, any of the Native Tugs family was you know, top notch.
Even Chi Ali was kind of hard back then because he was the younger dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, all of that, you know, the 45 King, you know.
Production kind of group, yeah.
And, you know, like my my introduction to, like, you know, a lot of that East Coast hip hop was when I was younger. My brother used to have this thing about, like, you know, recording every video that they ever had on UMTV Raps and BET.
And there's some 25-year-olds.
Yeah, and he would document all of these videos that that were played on these channels. And I'm talking about everything from, like, you know, early stuff.
Like Mobb Deep shit and
yeah, but you know, like, you know,
KMD too. Yeah, that had a huge impact. Me, yeah, Mikey like KMD.
When Fab Five Freddy used to host and Ed Lover and Dr. Dre.
So there used to be a channel called MTV Music Television, and that was back then. They would actually show music videos. Now it's more based on reality TV, but back then at 4:30, we'd go to Anthony's to watch it too. It would be, yeah, UMTV Raps,
and wouldn't miss it.
We would religiously, like, on some nerd shit, like, we did not want to miss it, yeah, because sometimes they would have, like, live performances on there. But I got hip to a lot of shit just watching that shit.
And then, like, you know, as it progressed, like, you know, like, in the early 90s, I'd say mid 90s, that was kind of considered like the golden era.
Mm.
And, you know, when I moved back up to Anaheim, that's when, like, I got introduced to Friday Night Flavors and, you know, The Joint, King M's, Mike Nardone, you know, and Sway and Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, you know, I used to always record, like, those shows on
you
know,
what?
On tapes.
I remember you used to do that. You used to have cassette tapes of radio shows and shit.
Yeah, you know, and they would have, like, you know, live
freestyle
sessions.
Yeah. And that's when, how did you discover Hieroglyphics? Like, was it UMTV Raps? Because, oh, maybe Dell's video.
Yeah, you know, because those guys were part of, like, you know, Dell's, like, production team early on. And Dell, of
like
course.
Like Domino and them dudes.
Dell, of course, was, like, you know, a part of America's Most Wanted. Ice Cube's, like, you know, probably his greatest album, I think, his greatest album.
Yeah, that was when, I mean,
the
he,
first album that
then
when,
Jinx,
when he left,
he was
when he left NWA.
Yeah.
When he left NWA. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Dell's in the liner notes. As,
yeah.
You know.
Ghost, like, kind of like writing credits.
There was, like, well, I remember there used to be this one, this interlude on America's Most Wanted about the dude going through the drive-thru.
Yeah. And so Dell was kind of, like, in the cut, like, just fucking learning shit from just being around Ice Cube and Jinx.
And I think he even, like, had, like, you know, co-writers production on
a Yo-Yo's album.
No, a Gangsta's Fairy Tale.
That's right.
Little boys and girls, they all love me.
Yeah, that's so. Dell was a prodigy.
You know, and you know, anything that was, like, you know, affiliated with that album, mm-hmm, America's Most Wanted, was like, you know, they were worth peeping.
Yeah,
and you know, before
is that before know,
when,
Souls dropped? That's before
when
they
used
even
to have
dropped.
To try to buy, when you used to have to buy music, right? A lot of times, you know, like, we would either, like, based on, like, the album cover or who was involved, you know, who was, like, you know, production on the production team, or
did we
whoever
go
had
to,
co
we,
you know
used to go
co-production
to the warehouse. We used to go there,
dude. Tower Records.
And then did we go, okay, there's a mall called North County Fair. You remember those days?
Yeah.
North County Fair.
I used to work there.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, but, you know, we used to, wasn't there, like, a music spot up there on the third level?
I don't really remember that. What, Music Plus or something?
No. Where it was kind of like a warehouse.
Tower Records?
Yeah, it was kind of like that, but a different name. But we used to go get tapes there because they used to sell 12-inch tapes. Like, just if you wanted to buy the singles and shit, like, mm-hmm, I kind of got into the R&B.
Dude, you know,
the
Mint
Condition and
yeah, all of that, man.
Troop.
You know,
spread my wings.
Yeah. If you're looking at your book, man, I'm rocking one of them Color Me Bad haircuts back in the day.
Yeah, we were kind of colorful. Like, we had colorful attire. Do you remember remember I got that...
That shit used to work, bro.
Oh, I know. We'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that. But,
you know, I look back at all that media that I used to have, right? You know, whether there was like CDs or, you know, tapes.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff, man, it would be gold now. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because you know how everything, like, you know, eventually comes back, right?
Well, they digitize it, put it on YouTube or.
Yeah, but, you know, like having the, you know, that actual, like, you know, piece of media, you know, is like, you can't buy that no more. You know what I'm saying?
Like some of your beat.
Yeah, tapes. I mean, all those tapes, man, like, you know, are classics and all the stuff that I had, you know, in my collection.
Classics.
Yeah, classic stuff. You know, that's all like, that like, I used like to buy.
Even those radio shows, you can't duplicate that, or how do you get that?
Yeah, you know, if you would ever be able to find any of that stuff today, you know, it would be like a super, super find. You know what I'm saying?
It would be a rarity.
Yeah, a rarity for real.
Now, I want to get into, because, dude, people don't know, like, Sean's... AKA the Relayer, you've produced quite a bit of stuff for me, like this, you know, like the independent stuff we put out, you know, and people don't really know, and I want to like kind of push you out there, like, as far as your production to me has been phenomenal, like, because you were ahead of the curve back then. Like, I remember you brought me to Fry's to get a computer. You're like, you got to get a computer. And you introduced me to the first Fruity Loops. You had, out of everybody, you had the first MPC. Like, how did you get into production?
I remember, you know, because it was always a financial thing. Because my brother, I remember he had an Akai SO1. And, you know, it was like, a very simple, I think it had like maybe like 10, 12 seconds of sampling time on it.
Mm-hmm. Was it a keyboard?
No, it was just like a rack mount.
Oh, it was a rack mount sampler.
Yeah. Okay, I think and, I know what you're talking about. And like, you know, it had like 12 seconds on there. So like, you know, you used to have to like make do with the time that you did have. And, you know, a lot of the production that I used to like was just like simple break beats with just some like, you know, some sonic space orchestra type weirdness over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
And like, that was like, you know, how we... you know, used to record stuff on a 4-track, you know.
Describe and to them what a 4-track, they might not know.
A 4-track is like, you know, it's basically you can record different segments of a song at different...
on different channels.
Yeah, different channels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can record the beat first, and then, like, you can go back and lay down the vocals, and then go back again, and then, like, lay down, like, you know, background vocals.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, you have another track to add anything else on there, you know.
And you were ahead of your time, too, because you, before, like, now, like, they're considered sound kits. You were doing that back in the day. You would literally just search and dig for a snare, a particular snare sound with a particular specific crunch or a kick. You would literally go through just...
Man, I had a lot of good ideas.
Libraries.
I had a lot of good ideas, you know.
Yeah.
In the past, but because of like, you know, outside issues.
We'll get into that too, man. I'm just happy you're sober now, but
yeah,
because you have some crazy stories. People could learn from that shit, you know.
Yeah, you know.
But you would always be on. Yeah, you would always like be making stuff, you know. Always.
And you know what was a trip about that time in my life too is that like, I had nobody to really like bounce ideas off of. You know what I'm saying? Because I had all these crazy ideas and. I bet you a lot of it sounded like gibberish because, you know, I was doing things that like maybe some other cats weren't doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Give me an example.
Like I had this idea to do sound kits, right?
That's a thing now.
You know, because what I was like originally aiming to do is what is out nowadays, like on YouTube. Like, you know, you have channels like Steezy as Fuck. And, you know, he's just putting out like these beat tapes.
Right.
You know, just of instrumentals from like guys like all over the world. And they're like, you know, 20, 30 minute, like, you know, beat tapes of, you know, no lyrics or nothing like that.
Yeah,
but just like, you know, stuff that you can vibe to. And I wanted to do stuff like that back then. You know what I mean?
That stuff's coming back.
I remember like, you know, my thing was like, you know, because I kind of learned from my brother. My brother used to like, you know, document all these videos that he used to record, you know, off of these shows. I remember when Napster was out there. Remember Napster?
Yeah.
And you know, all these streaming like, you know, channels. I used to have like thousands of instrumentals, you know, like, you know, instrumentals from, you know, you name it, A through Z, you know, I had, you know,
Alcoholics.
Yeah. I mean, you name it, dude. Like anything, if there was an instrumental out there that was
Pete
on Rock, Napster.
Pete Rock and Seal Smooth.
You name it. I mean, like I would dig for that stuff. You know what I mean? And then, I had this idea to like, you know, put out like, you know, these instrumental CDs so that like, you know, guys that like to write and you know, spit, you know, they would have like music that they could actually, you know, bust to.
And I want to, if we could brush upon like just your brother and the influence he had on both of us too. Like, so shout out to Larry.
Rhyme Style.
He was a real head, because I remember even back during the Distillery days too, like he was not only into like the writing and the raps, but he was quite a solid b-boy for, you know, like, and I just remember that one of the nights there we were, I was just trying to get my thing going, and these guys, I didn't realize these guys were about to like serve me up. Like, yeah, because I thought I was like really trying, like I was doing the Running Man. And then I was like, really? And then these guys were kind of, because back then they had like house crews. There was a crew called Stussy. That's a stupid name now. Like, why would you name a crew off of a clothing brand? Yeah. But they had like fluorescent laces. They started circling like a wolf pack. And then Larry, I saw, dude, and I want to thank Larry for this. So I was about to just get served up, and Larry, sir, he served the whole club. He battled the whole club. I mean, I'm talking cruise upon cruise upon cruise. And then I just remember, I didn't know he had it like that.
No, my brother has always been a really competitive, he's always had a competitive spirit. And that's carried over into anything that he's ever done.
This is in the early, this is in the 90s.
Yeah.
He used to do a move called the teardrop, where he would like be on his feet, and then he would drop and do like an inverted like neck thing, and he would pop up, and then it'd be like boom.
I look at like what do you call like the stuff that like, you know, like on these Red Bull, like, you know,
B-boy, like, you know, like B-boy Lilu and all that. These
dudes,
they're advanced now.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I mean, like, you know, the progression.
Oh, shout out to B-Boy Casper.
The progression of the culture, B-boy man, Casper. is bananas. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, where it's been or where it once was, like, you know, during our era to where it's at now.
I know, but back then it was more of a rarity, because it wasn't like that on, like, wasn't like sponsorships and shit like that.
And that's why, you know, like, it's always important to pay homage, man, to the people that came before us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because there was, because
my brother being one of them, for me anyway. You know what
I'm saying? I looked up to you. I learned most of my knowledge, like, oh, who's Saphir? Who's that? Or this and that. But he used to be part of a L.A. kind of collective called Hip Hop Hippies.
Yeah.
And so a dude named Black Silver.
Yeah, shout out to Black Silver.
Shout out to Black Silver. I was watching a CBS graffiti documentary, and I was like, I didn't know he was a part of that.
He's another guy too, man. Like, you know, one of these guys that even back then, I mean, dude, this dude was like, he was dope at like
graffiti,
skateboarding.
Skateboarding.
He could ollie this high, you know what I'm saying?
He was just in it.
I mean, like, any kind of subculture.
He was into it.
Yeah.
And then,
he's still doing his thing, man. He's advanced as hell.
When did he link up with Cool Keith to do Analog Brothers?
Probably like maybe a few decades ago that they started linking up. You know, he's tied in with some big names. You know what I'm saying? And he's still doing his thing, man. You know.
Yeah. So shout out to Silver.
Yeah.
I just remember back then, like I was in the back of a car, and we're kids from Power San Diego, and then your brother would meet up with people off Melrose, and he would introduce, you know, people like that would come up to the car. I'm like, who is this guy? And
these dudes, like, man, had such an impact on me, because I remember the early stages of me, trying to create. I respected these dudes so much because of the things that they did. You know what I mean? Like, culture-wise.
It was just purely skill, too.
Yeah,
it wasn't
fame, you know, this
or
is back
cloud
when, like,
or none
you know,
of that.
Yeah, this is, like, you know, before, like, YouTube or any
all
kind
that,
of, like,
yeah.
TikTok and all this other stuff, man. And these dudes were doing it strictly for the state of the art.
Just for the art.
And, you know, and these guys used to, like, motivate me and inspire me, man. You know, just by, like, you know, listening to my stuff and, like, seeing what I had. And they would always tell me, like, they would give me, like, you know, the nod, like, all
right.
Right. And that would keep me going. You know what I'm saying?
So what producers or artists did you look up to, like, even back then when we were, like, high schoolers?
You know, like, I think there came a point where, you know, I stopped listening to people that were already out there. Of course, like, you know, some of the major influences that I had were, like, some of my favorites were, like, Razzcast.
Oh, he's still around.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And his sons. Have you heard his sons?
No.
Coast Contra.
No.
Oh, these dudes are vicious, man.
Oh,
like,
okay.
They set like a high standard, man.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? And so like you know Razzcast or you know Freestyle Fellowship. You know, I can increase this list, but
I love it. Just keep going. I love it.
You know, like.
What about the Beastie Boys? I mean.
You know, like, you know, Beastie Boys.
When I saw them live, bro.
Yeah,
because they performed on mushrooms, bro.
Yeah.
I was tripping. Remember Ad Rock? He's like, don't mind us, we're on mushrooms. And I'm like, what?
Some of my earlier influences were like, you know, Cypress Hill, of course.
Dude.
Organized Confusion. You know, of course, Main Source.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so that's Large Professor.
Yeah. You know, all these dudes that are on this this poster right here.
Can you name every?
I can name everybody on that poster.
Okay, because I don't think anyone's actually
the Beatnuts. You know what I'm saying?
Start.
Chuck D.
Yeah.
You know, Grandmaster Flash, Kumo D,
Dougie
Heavy
Fresh,
D,
Dougie
Too
Fresh.
Short.
Yep. Kumo D.
Large Professor, Afrika Bambaataa, Dougie Fresh. You know,
MC Light. Too. MC Light, Ice-T, MC Light.
Africa Bam, Ice-T, yeah.
We kind of breezed past Hyrule, like, because Hyrule, I got really into them. Once, you know, Dell dropped his shit, I got really obsessed with 93 Till Infinity and all that shit. And then even, remember, who's the other dude? God, there's another guy. Oh, Casual.
Casual, of course,
Casual,
yeah.
And, there's another guy. He did more.
Production-wise, though,
I remember
just being blown away by like A Plus's production.
That's what
you know,
I'm saying, man.
One of my favorite joints of all time is how he flipped Cab Fare. You know? Yeah.
Oh dude, can I grab that CD? I have the CD.
Yeah, that's a classic right there. You know, it's just like, you know, it's one of them things like where, you know, they just don't make them like they used to, man.
So this is Bob James. This is not the album, but he looped number, the Taxi theme song. This is the CD. Yeah, so Bob James, you know what? They sample a lot of Bob James, I noticed.
You know, recently, I was at a meeting recently, right? You know, and there was this guy named Michael Axelrod.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of him before?
He sounds familiar.
His father was David Axelrod, okay?
Rocker dude? He
was like a jazz musician.
Oh, jazz, okay.
And they were playing his catalog of all the things that have, like, you know, been sampled by from him.
From his 70s?
Yeah, dude. This dude was
70s
like,
was like a premiere.
He was a beast. He was a beast.
Yeah. So you like their production and even their kind of rhyme schemes, too, like the way they did
that.
Yeah, the
man,
double
like, you know, I still feel that, you know, like... They're top tier. You know what I'm saying? Like, anything that they drop is definitely worth peeping. You know what I'm saying?
Like, even Tajay had some shit like, if I had a grip and stabbed.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, you know, and, then, these are old rhyme schemes that they had. You know what I'm saying?
But
I
they
mean,
were doing the, now. They were doing the syllable shit back then, and I didn't know what they were doing. Even like the double syllable, like A plus would be like, I know, hi, rogue, we got to fly, flow. You know, like the double, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The double syllable thing.
They made it look effortless, dude. Which was like probably like, you know, the thing about them that just really like drew me to their sound was like, you know, just sounded like, you know, like that's just how they did on the regular, you know what I'm saying? Like without trying, like they were dope. You know what I'm saying?
Who did most of the production on 93? Was it?
It had to be A plus.
I think Dell had a beat.
And maybe a Domino.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, that really impacted me, man. Because obviously, Bizarre Ride. That's, you know, I don't even know how many times I've played that. I mean, let's rewind back to the fake ID. I remember when we were in high school, there was a dirt road. We wanted to fucking get drunk, and you had the ID, and then you said, who was the cat that worked at the liquor store? It was off a dirt road.
Yeah, it was a this one liquor store where the guy. You know, he really didn't even look at your ID. He was just always like, you know, he was just trying to make a sale.
And that's when the alcoholism began.
Yeah, you know, I used to go in there with like some glasses and my brother's like, you know, military ID. Mm-hmm. And
we would rack so many 40 you know, ounces. Oh, dude, we would get all so the, faded.
You know, all the seniors and football players and like, you know.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, they were all hanging out at your place. I'm like, what's Jeff Addison doing here?
Yeah. But, you know, so that kind of like, you know, that's the beginning of when I look back about like, you know, when I first kind of like, you know, dove like head first.
You impacted our whole friend group. You know what I'm saying? Like Anthony was into. He was into. No, Anthony was into some. He knew about all the kinds of shit.
But you know, like, because I was
guy and he had R&B shit too.
I was what he called, man. Like, and I was kind of like the new kid at the school.
Yeah, but you had that LA influence. You'd drive down with all this new music. I'm like, what's that? What's that?
You know, and so like, you know, coming out to Pali was like a whole new world for me, and you know, especially being like, you know, Filipino, mm-hmm. and the school's predominantly like, you know,
white. You can say it.
And you know. Just trying to adapt out there and mm-hmm. like, you know, trying to get in where I fit in, mm-hmm. You know, having that fake ID, man, like,
that
you know,
helped.
It boosted me.
It
like,
boosted you up. Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, I definitely like, you know, had my fair share of partying.
Dude, I was so high and drunk off that dirt road. I don't know. You know, it was in my MPV and we were hotboxing in there, fucking drinking 40s. And I remember we're playing, what's that Far Side song? Past the the pipe. Yeah, and then I remember hearing that, and I think it was Romai's verse or something, and I thought I was like, it was on some schizophrenic shit, where I'm like, did you hear that? Like, I thought I heard like little, you know, like when, you know, people listen to Pink Floyd, The Wall and shit, they're like, oh, do you hear that sound effect? Like, do you hear that wind? Or like, I thought I was hearing stuff. I don't know what was going on, but I was tripping hard, because...
You remember one of my favorite, like, you know, old time anthems was Beat Nuts.
Oh, they were some of my the Intoxicated Demons.
I wanna fuck, drink beer, smoke
some shit.
Fuck, drink beer, smoke some shit.
Yeah.
I used to get so hyped listening to that song, man.
Dude, you know that EP, bro, still holds up to for me, dude. Come on, dude. Check out Beat Nuts.
Intoxicated
check
Demons.
Check out the Beat Nuts, Intoxicated Demons.
Yeah.
That shit, classic. Dude, every beat was hitting.
Yeah, that was, man, like that was a fun time in my life,
man.
See,
that kind of basically classifies, you know, signifies like the shit. That's like, I fucking love that shit. Because there's only 6 songs on it. And I'm like, okay, let's hear it again. Because back then, you had to earn your listen. Nowadays, people are so spoiled. They just, you know what I mean? They got the iPad or iPod or whatever.
There's just, you know, it's different back then. It's watered down, man. Like, you know, like. Everybody and their cousin, like, you know, is like either, you know, involved in the culture somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Well, nowadays, I don't even know what it is because... Are you hip to, like, any of this shit out now? Like,
you know, like, I listen to it whenever, like, you know, somebody happens to be playing it, but I don't actually search the stuff out.
They all use this effect on their voice. It's this, what's it called? Auto-tune.
Yeah.
Every fucking...
You know,
all the beats sound similar, and it's all auto-tune.
You know, but you know what's funny about, like, you know, what you can do with art nowadays? It's like, dude, you know, don't knock it till you try it, right? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you know what? You're right. Maybe.
You know, like
I've never really tried. That's a way we were like that too back when we're that age.
But you know what I'm saying? Like experimenting, you just never know. Like you might actually even fall in love with autotune. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Have you tried it?
No, I've never, you know.
Okay, so yeah, that's a better attitude. Like, don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because you might get like, you know, a whole you know.
And you always gave me the best advice because I'm the one person out of the group that didn't get girls. And then I came up to you for advice because I always see you guys on dates and stuff, dating all kinds of different females on campus. And then I go, I'd pull you to the side and I go, how do you do it? And then I remember it still holds true to till this day. You're like, you got to try.
No, I think what it was.
You were like, yeah, go ahead.
I think what it was, though, like, if you would have been rocking that hairstyle back in the day.
With this?
Yeah. Dude.
Really?
You'd have to fight them off. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think
Because look at you now, right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it came later. It came later in life.
Do you still have, like, those same problems?
No.
You don't?
No, I got a girl, man.
See?
Yeah.
See now, now I'm in that boat. You know what I mean? Like, I have a, you know, maybe I might need to take some advice from you now.
Back then, well, the church camps didn't help. Because I would be on the tip where I would meet a girl, but I go, do you want to go to Bible study with me?
See, it's funny, man. It's funny, like, how life is, right? Because, you know, like that's kind of where I'm at now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, spirituality and those things are of importance to me in my life now. You know what I'm saying? And like, maybe it's like, you know, the same thing. Like, it's you know, I don't
get females. Right. No, like, but the thing is,
like you did back then.
I guarantee you that's still there for you. You're newly sober, and I want to get to the point where you kind of went off course. You know, because that was that's a pertinent time in your life and your story as well. Because there was a time where I lost.
I still remember this conversation that we had when I was working. Remember, I used to work at that one yellow building.
Oh, what was it?
It was an adult bookstore.
Oh, in Long Beach.
Yeah. Okay, you remember this time?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I remember I was on the phone with you. And
was I sober?
You were like, you know, thinking about, you know,
getting sober.
Yeah, getting sober and going to meetings. And you were talking about, hey, I gotta go because I gotta go, like, you know, and make coffee for this meeting
or set up chairs.
You know, I got commitments, and our conversations would get cut short, you know, because I'd be on the phone, like, you know, like probably talking out the side of my neck about instrumentals and production and whatnot. And then you were like, dude, I gotta go to this meeting. You know what I mean? And I remember you. You extended your hand to me, like, in that regard. You were, like, you know, trying to get me to go to meetings with you. You know what I'm saying? And I was just, like, I wasn't ready, you know, at that time.
And as they say, it's attraction rather than promoting it.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Something like that, you can't promote it. A person has to really be ready. And did you have a gnarly story, and I want to get to the gnarly.
Dude, and see, like, you know, it's one of those things, man, like, you know, until you walk in those shoes and, you know, you see somebody else go through what you probably went through with me.
Yeah, because, you know, I was still hanging out with you. I just didn't know what you guys were doing.
It's painful bring my to sampler. Watch.
I would bring my sampler over, and then you guys would, you know, go to be in a different room. I go, hey guys, we're gonna do a track.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
man, the disease is no joke, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It takes away everything that you've ever loved from you. You know what I'm saying? And like,
dude, you're willing to pawn your dude. Can I say the story?
I'll go for it.
So one night I thought we were going to work on music, and we happened to drive by this casino, Hawaiian Gardens, and I go, you go, hey, let's just stop in there for a little bit, just real quick. I go, oh, okay. I'm not, I wasn't too savvy in the whole gambling or poker or anything. So we end up going in there, and, you know, an hour goes by, 2 hours goes by.
Dude, I think
you're at the table. And then to the point where you lost your money, and then you pulled me to the side. You go, hey, let me talk to you. You go like this. You go, hey man, which money you got in your account? Dude, I go, wait, hold on, let me finish. I go, I don't know, Sean, because I was just doing the little nickel slot. I don't know what I was doing. I had no business being there. And you're like, hey man, just take $300. Oh, take $300. And I go,
I go,
Sean, that's a lot of money. And you're like, I'll make it back. I'm gonna make it back. So I go, okay, here you go. And so it ended up being, and then you were start saying stuff like, they got food here, they got Chinese food here. I was eating chow mein, and I'd be sitting there, and to the point, hold up, let me finish, where it, now it was the next day. It was like 7 in the morning, and I'm in the casino, and then I go, Sean, dude, can I have your keys, dude? Can I just crash out in your car? And so I crash out on the passenger side, and it was in the morning time, and then I remember sleeping in your car, and then you knocking on the window, and you're like, I made your money back. But then, hold on. I'm missing a major point. Because we're kind of finagling about the money. Because, you know, I'm still frugal in a way. I go, well, you're going to make the money. And you go like, dude, I'll give you my NPC. You're willing to get, you don't remember that? You're ready to pawn your NPC, the love, just your main arsenal of making beats. You're willing to say, I'll give you that.
Yeah, just in case if I did.
If you didn't make the money.
If I didn't make the money back.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, man. So I didn't realize that. I didn't realize how,
dude, I was
wrapped
deep.
Up in that.
I was like so wrapped up in, like, you know, the gambling and the lifestyle and,
yeah,
you know what I mean, like the drugs, man. And
so what were you like back then? You were smoking a stimulant, right? I mean, can we talk about that? Like,
I was a mathematician.
So you would like explain what? Can you write that out? I like that. That was a cool kind of. Whatever,
you know,
title
a crystal Methodist, you know what I'm saying?
So describe what that is.
Well, you know what I mean? There's different names for it or whatever, man. But like, basically, you know, it took everything that I love from me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Career, music,
you know,
and just brought me down this, like, this, it seemed like it was a never-ending black hole. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
the gambling didn't help.
The gambling, you know, kind of accompanied, you know.
The dopamine hits. Yeah.
And then, like, you know, coupled with, like, you know, I was, like, burning bridges. And, you know what I mean? Like, I stopped working at the office, you know.
Cause you had it all mapped out, bro. Like, cause your dad was the man. Rest in peace, my pops and your pops.
Word up.
Rest in peace. But dude, I used to do taxes with your dad every year, dude. He would hook me up. You know, he knew what he was doing. Dude.
I remember it came to a point, dude, like where, you know, you would call the office and you weren't
around, bro.
Yeah, I was like, I was always gone. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And I was my dad's first employee. And
you broke it down to me. You're like, okay, these are deductions, and you like break shit down.
Well, you know, like now, yeah. Like, you know, that I got, like, you know, a little bit over 9 months or whatever, man.
Dude, I'm
like,
so,
you know,
happy, dude, that, man, you're doing the right thing.
Man, you're like, you don't know how relieved, like, you know, like my family is now. You know, I'm there for them.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know you're doing the right thing. Just keep doing what you're doing.
God,
I'm not. That's why I met your buddy. I'm like, okay, I'm glad that he's sober too, and he got you here safe. But this is the thing. What led? When everyone has their bottom, you have a crazy. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, you know, I'll try to keep it, like, you know, pretty short or whatever. But, like, you know, everything kind of clusterfucked all at one time for me, right? I was like 260 pounds. You know, I'd burn every bridge that was, you know.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So extended to me, you know, my father passed away. You know, I had like fair weather friends, you know, the type of friends that would only like maybe come around when, you know, you had something or exactly. They wanted something from you.
Exactly.
And, you know, like it came to a point, man, like where I just didn't even give a fuck anymore about even like, you know, seeing like, you know, a week down the road or even the next day, you know what I mean? And things were just really, really dark, dude. And, I remember,
you remember the night that shit, yeah, like, hit the fan?
It kind of happened unexpectedly, man. And, to be honest, like I'm kind of glad that it happened in retrospect now because, you know, I picked up a bag, you know, of some mathematics.
Yeah. We'll just say mathematics. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, was unaware that it was laced. It was laced with some fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember I was like, you know, isolated in my room and, you know, just really, really depressed, broke, you know what I mean? Broken spirit.
Was it in Long Beach? Yeah. Were you still in Long Beach?
And, you know, I had, you know, no kind of connection with God. You know what I mean? I was like on the verge of giving up. I remember I was like looking at this, like this, bottle of Tylenol and there was like a gang of capsules in it. And I was like, I wonder how many it would take.
You were there.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I was thinking about it, you know, but then, you know, that whole night, you know, I think this was around like maybe Father's Day. Right. And like, you know, my father passed away like in 2020 in December. And I remember it was like, you know,
it was 2020 because mine did 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2019. Yeah. So around the same time, Sean.
Yeah, you know, and I remember like, you know, and one of the things that hurts the most, man, you know, being sober today, right, is my father not being here to see his son.
With
this much time, you know, on his own.
Right.
Because you know he seemed like, you know, be sober like when I was locked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think those were like
maybe just
the
you
longest.
Saying those words too just blows my mind because I know you during when things were more innocent and we're in Poway and then when you told me the first stint there and I'm like what happened,
you know, first one in my family to go to prison, man.
Yeah,
you know, I'm the first one to like, you know, to go through rehabilitation treatment.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to get to that
first one to become like a member.
Right. You know? I want to get to that, but I want you to finish the story where you kind of were at your lowest, and then I want to get to the prison stuff after that.
Okay, and I think one of the moments that I remember so vividly was when I had, you know, I called the ambulance on myself. Because I felt like I was dying after, like, you know, smoking the stuff that I was unaware that it was laced. And that night, dude, I remember, like, you know, calling out to something greater than myself. Like, you know what, man? Like, yeah, like, you know, I don't want to die like this. I don't want to die like this.
Did you already smoke? Did you already intake the substance?
Mm-hmm. And
then were you... Because that shit, it takes a little bit and then...
And I just remember, like, just being like, you know, I didn't want to die that way, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to die that way. And it's, man, like, you know, these last 9 months have just been, like, you know, a trip, man. And I remember, like, you know, with everything that kind of fell apart, like, I had nobody, right? You know, my mom lives in Henderson, and,
Do you have my number, dude? Like, you should have hit me
up. Dude,
man.
Yeah,
like,
of course, dude. Like, you know, of course, there were people that care about me, that,
Oh, man, like...
But, you know, like, you know, things happen the way that they happen, dude. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, maybe if I had your number and called you, you probably would have bailed me out, and I probably wouldn't be telling this story right now.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And so, like, you know, how everything works out, man, is it's all got to be like, you know, God's grace, man.
So you dodged you dodged a bullet. Yeah. You dodged a bullet, man.
And then, you know, so I ended up going to the hospital. I ended up going to the hospital for like a week, right? And I tried to get into treatment, and you know, beds were all full.
And you decide, you made that decision.
Yeah, because like, I was like, dude, I don't want to live like this no more. And that time that I spent at Long Beach Memorial.
That's the thing you got to say when you're ready. I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah, I don't want to live this way. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like, you know, all of my best ideas, man, like I was like, you know, I was so broken, dude. And like, you know, I just had no clue on how to like live a regular, normal life.
Right.
You know, I was at that point where I didn't even want to do it no more, but I was still doing it. You know what I mean?
And that's when you know you got a problem.
That is crazy, yeah, right? Yeah. To be in that headspace right there. And I remember when I got out of the hospital, and you know, shout out to Long Beach Memorial, the nurses there, man, because, you know, they helped, you know, nurse me back to health. And, you know, they showed me care and concern when I didn't even have care and concern for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I just saw them as being like, you know, extensions of God's hands, you know. And that experience being in that that hospital room for like a week, I remember I was trying to get into treatment and all the beds were full. And at this point, like, you know, I'm like, all my belongings are in my truck and I'm like, I'm basically homeless. You know, and like I had no money. I had nobody to call, you know.
And the car was gone. The Audi was gone.
No, the Audi was gone. Like I was like, you know, I had a truck at the time and I was basically living in my truck. I was going down to the park to bird bathe and everything. You know what I'm saying? And like
to that point.
Yeah. And, you know, but I remember when I got out of the hospital, though, I remember I didn't want to use anymore, though. You know?
Yeah. And so you had, and that was something different.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, I was like 260 pounds, dude. You know, I was
No,
you know, super good. Overweight. And,
you
and
look
like,
healthy, dude.
My health was like, you know, completely in the shitter. And like, I remember I went to this 7-Eleven on Wardlow.
What's that? Is that in Long Beach?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I ran into this dude who I used to use with. Shout out to KT.
Yeah.
He was looking for the address 7-Eleven Wardlow, okay? He ends up getting lost, pulls over to this 7-Eleven on Wardlow, and like I said, I used to use with this guy, and like, you know, a few years prior, like when I last seen him, it looked like he was about to die, you know what I mean? Like he was on his last leg. I thought he had like maybe a month to live, but I end up running into him again at this 7-Eleven on Wardlow.
Like a freak random event.
Yeah, okay, and another funny thing about that number 7-Eleven, right, is his sobriety date is 7-Eleven. You know what I mean?
What?
And the way things lined up, bro, I'm telling you, it's just
star alignment.
Yeah, you know, it was like, you know, it was like a God shot with a scope, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Literally, hey, and
so
you this.
Yeah, you know,
I'm presenting this to you.
And so I go inside 7-Eleven, get my cup of coffee, I come back out, and he's standing there, and he's like, "What's up, dog?" And you know, I'm like, dude, you know, I heard he had gotten sober and I didn't know how he did it though. Right. And
you weren't sober yet.
No, I had, you know, just got out the hospital.
Oh, you're thinking about it.
I was like trying to get into treatment, but you know, all the beds were full. And he had gotten treatment at this place called Pacifica House in Hawthorne.
Yeah.
And
wow, that's, you know, crazy, dude.
Yeah. And he's standing there and like, you know, when I come outside of 7-Eleven and I'm telling him, I'm like, dude, you know, I just got out the hospital, almost died. He makes one phone call, and 2 days later, I'm over there, like, receiving treatment for the first time.
Wow, that was
on my own.
That was meant to be, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, who else could have
masterminded
that?
Dude, you know, he's looking for
7-Eleven
Wardlow. He gets lost. I'm at the 7-Eleven on Wardlow needing treatment.
And his sobriety date is 7-Eleven.
Yeah. That's okay, and the day that I ran into him, it was like maybe like 7-13.
Those are threes, right? That was a three event.
Yeah, yeah. And then I ran into him like on like it was like July 13th,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
Like 2 days later, I was in Pacifica House, like, you know, starting this journey.
So you were at 7-Eleven. He was looking for 7-Eleven. His sobriety date is 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like maybe, you know, and at that point, I really, really like stopped believing in coincidences.
That
you know what I mean?
Was just, yeah, that was some movie shit, like something, yeah.
I mean, like even when I tell the story, man, it still gives me chills because it's like, come
still,
on now.
I
felt like,
him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He knows you're clean?
Yeah, yeah.
So thank, what's his name? Can I give him a shout out?
KT.
KT.
Valentino, man.
I really appreciate you being there that night.
Yeah, you know, and you know, one thing that he always told me, man, like, which I, you know, I try to practice this now, even in my life today, is that I remember being so grateful to him, man, and you know, so appreciative to what he did for me, and thanking him, that all he told me was like, hey, man, you know, when things start getting better for you,
yeah,
just pay it forward.
You know what I just realized, too?
Do it for the next guy.
Exactly. This is no longer the Stevie Weeby Show. It's Soft White Underbelly. Because it's getting that real. But you mentioned something too about, because I had a guest here.
Yeah, I know of him. I seen him on Soft White Underbelly, and his story was a banger, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, really inspiring, right?
Yeah.
But because you, now I want to get to the prison stuff, because I know you got some stories.
Yeah.
What was that? I mean,
you know,
is it something? Because it's like, I know you. You know, I know your path. I know Sean.
Yeah.
And you being in there, I can't even imagine how the hell do you navigate, because that's a whole different world in there, isn't it?
You know, like, not only was I the first one in my family to go to prison and get a number, you know, I think I was like also like, you know, the only guy in the group, Flintstones, that went to prison.
Out of the whole group?
Yeah, out of all the guys that we used to hang out with.
Juan didn't get it?
I don't think so. But, you know, who knows? But, you know, and so, like, you know, I was a first for all these different things, right? And when you go to prison, you know what I mean? Like, especially if you're Asian, Islander, or if you're just an other.
So that, wait, did clarify, when you're in jail, there's black, white.
Yeah.
Black, white, and Latino.
Yeah,
right?
You know, yeah. Southerners, yeah.
Southerners. But then if you're not any other race, you're others.
Yeah, you're an other, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, that experience right there in itself is like, it's a, you're a rarity. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, majority of people, like, you know, that are locked up, right? You know, you hardly see any Filipinos.
Or Asian.
You hardly see, you know, there are plenty.
So there
of course.
Might be a guy from, like an Indian dude, like from.
Yeah, and from, he would run with us. He would run with us, you know what I'm saying? Or
like a Pakistani guy.
Or a Persian guy, or, you know,
what about
like different.
Armenian?
Yeah, sometimes.
So they're the
sometimes.
Others. They're the others.
Sometimes, depending on where they grow up.
So
you
when
know?
You're there the first day, is it like, what is that? Is it like the movies and stuff? Like they.
Well, you know, usually like when you're going into a situation like that, you want to be like well informed. So, of course, like, you know, other guys that I could talk to, they would lace me up and tell me about, you know, what to expect.
So
you know
there's
what I'm saying?
Rules in there.
Yeah. You know, some rules that like, you know, I don't continue to live by, like, you know, now that I have my freedom or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like
yeah,
when
yeah.
you're in there,
you have to
abide by the rules, or, you know, you might get DP'd, you might get disciplined. You know what I'm saying?
What's
beat
a DP?
Up.
Oh, because, yeah.
Get beat up. You know what I'm saying?
Get beat up.
Yeah.
Give me an example of.
Okay, like, you know, let's say, for example, you get a sack lunch, right?
Yeah, what's in the sack lunch?
Like a peanut butter jelly sandwich,
okay.
Maybe a piece of fruit, and
okay. That's the meal.
Maybe like a juice or something
okay.
like that. And let's say there's like a dude that you know from the streets, and he happens to be, you know.
A different race.
Yeah, like. Others we can share with brothers, right?
Also, you can share with other races?
Yeah, okay, except for, you know, like maybe Southerners and also like maybe the Woods.
And the Woods are the whites?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, like that goes both ways. But, you know, usually like, you
really?
Know, the
I didn't know that. So you.
The other car, right? Like, because you can know somebody from the streets, dude, and like be super tight with them. But, you know, there's rules in there that you have to kind of like overlook, like, you know, how you know them on the street.
So
in
you,
order to
if
survive
you're
in
really
there.
Really good homies with a dude.
Yeah.
And he's a different race. You can't be like, what's up? You kind of have to.
Like, yeah. Like, you know, like we can like,
you
know,
head nod, like, hey, I see
we could bump fists and all that kind of stuff. And
but,
we could chop it up. We
but
could
you
talk.
Can't play cards with him.
We can't play cards. We can't like, you know, share food with them. We can't like exercise with them. We can't sit on their beds. You know what I mean? Like,
and
we can't talk about like, you know, the things that are going on, like, you know, within the car, like, you know, we can't politic with each other. You know what I mean? Everything
yeah.
has like, you know, like a hierarchy and like, you know, a
yeah,
shot
yeah,
collar.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, but you know, like that's
so didn't you had a story
for
too.
The birds though, yeah. bro.
Oh, that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, when you have no choice and you're in that environment, of course, man, you have to kind of like, you know, you have to act accordingly, right? You have to follow suit.
Now, is there, like, is this just in the movies, but is there the, when you drop the soap? Just bear with me.
Okay. All right.
Just stay with me real quick. Does that happen?
Yeah, but you know, like, you know,
it's not like that though.
These scenes that, like, you know, that you,
it's
you,
not, it's not like the movies.
Yeah, because, like, you know, like that's okay. You know what I mean, like some guy, just imagine some guy just like, you know, just
don't do that look.
You know what I mean? Like, you drop the soap and he's just like, yeah. He's like licking his lips, like
no. So that,
yeah, that's
okay,
like, you know,
that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and plus, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you would have some people in your corner that would, like, you know, hopefully prevent that from happening. You know what I'm saying?
They'll check you. They'll be like, hey, dude, like, what are you doing?
Or, like, yeah, you know, like...
Yeah, like, dude, that's...
Like if we were in jail together, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
We would run together.
Yeah, because I would be with the others.
Yeah, you'd be with the others, you know what I'm saying? If somebody laced you up properly, because, like, sometimes, you know, like, people don't get laced up properly... And you know, they end up running, like, you know, with another race sometimes.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Let me give
because
you a scenario.
Because they don't know any better.
Let me give you a scenario. What if we're in there together, and then one day, is there a rec time or something, or where people can?
Yeah, they have. There's like yard time.
So during yard time, I'm chilling like with the cholo homie,
right?
And we're sitting, and I'm playing cards with them.
Oh yeah, dude, you're getting beat up for sure.
Really?
Yeah, they'd be like, "Hey, Steve. Come back here. We want to talk to you for a second, right?"
Wait, hold on, man. Don't be so aggressive with it. Who would do that to me?
So usually there'd
be like... Would it be a part of my group, the others?
Yeah.
So someone would be... Is there a leader of the others?
There's usually like a shot caller or like, you know...
So he would tell... He'd go, "Hey, Steve."
Or no, he would like, you know, the way he arranged it up, like, because usually...
Play it through.
Usually, like, you know, what would happen, right? You know, it would be kind of unexpected or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Like, they might just want to, like... They might act like, "We might need to talk to you about something," or whatever, like, you know, like, I don't know, whatever case may be. But, yeah. Like, they would call you in the back, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, "Hey, Steve, let me holler at you for a second, bro."
But they would come as a friend.
And you go back there, and as soon as you turn around...
Lights out.
Yeah, you got, like, 2-3 dudes, like, you know, like...
So when they do that, is it a confined, like, small space, like, where they're doing, like, so are they doing Mike Tyson? Are they doing left hooks? And
dude, they're trying to discipline your ass.
So are they throwing knees, Muay Thai knees, or how's, are they throwing elbow? Like, yeah, they're, there's blood involved.
There can be at times, depending on who's on the squad.
Can I ball up? Like, how do I defend myself?
You could even fight back if you wanted to. You could fight
really?
Back. Yeah.
Really?
You know?
So, but there's... They're probably bigger. I'm a small guy.
You know, usually the way they would do it, they would keep it fair. And, like, you know, they would maybe, like, get 2 or 3 guys that are about your size.
And they would just...
Yeah. You know, but, like, you know, the bigger the guy, of course, like, you know, the bigger the dudes would have to be, right?
Cause, okay.
Because, you know, like, you know, just imagine, like, a guy your size on somebody, like, you know, like, that's, like, 250, man. 300 pounds.
So is there a time limit? Like, is there, like, a...
Yeah, you know, like, depending on when those guys feel like you've had enough...
Mm-hmm. Then, you know what I mean? And then, okay, when it's over, right, and I got a black eye, do I apologize to the group?
No, you just know better.
Do I say, "Hey, guys, I'm sorry.
No.
I went too far.
You would just be like, you know, it would just pretty much be like, why did this happen to me? And it'd be like, probably because you were playing cards.
Right. So you can't, that's a no-no. Can I give you one more scenario?
Okay.
So, we're almost there. This is going to run a little longer because this is my homie. This is like fucking family right here.
Okay.
Hey, cheers, man. I'm having a good time with you.
Okay,
we're going to do part 2, part 3, part 4, whatever it takes.
Okay, good. But listen to this.
Wait. Let me do my scenario.
Okay, another scenario, too. Yeah. Okay, like, let's say, you know, I got this monster right here, right? And you happen to be another race. Like, you couldn't drink after me. You know what I'm saying? It's like
out of the same.
Yeah, like, you know, you might
I wouldn't do that regardless anyway.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
drink.
Yeah. But see, it's like, you know, rules like that. Like, you know, if you're drinking, like, you know, you can't be drinking from the same cup.
Okay, you know, since you brought that up, what if a guy from a different race starts giving me, "Hey, I got a fresh bar of soap. Steve, hey, you want it?" Or "I got a candy bar." And they start giving me stuff.
That's a no-no. They're probably trying to set you up for failure. They probably want to see you get beat up.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you can't take nothing from no other race.
Okay, this is my last scenario. So it was during rec time again, and then you're like, you don't see me right. You're like, "Where's Steve at?" Okay. And then I'm gone for quite a bit of time.
Okay.
And I come back, and they put a tattoo on me. And it's like their gang or whatever. And then I go, "Hey, they did this. Look what happened." What happens then?
You mean from another race?
Yeah.
No, that would never even happen, bro. Because the dudes that would even think about giving that tattoo would get beat up.
Really?
Yeah.
From who?
You know, you could like from your own race.
So the others would stand up.
Yeah, you know, like it wouldn't even happen though, dude, because the guys that you
step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Do the tattoos, they know better not to get involved, like, you know, in doing things like that, no matter how much you would pay them. Like, so you would need to get a tattoo from your own race or the brothers.
Oh, right. So what's the top three etiquette things you need to have to survive? And like, what isn't being clean a part of it?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's mando, you know what I'm saying? For you to like, mandatory.
That's mandatory.
Yeah.
You never so what are three things that are mando?
Okay, you know, you mind your own business.
You be quiet.
Right? Mind your own business. You just follow suit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't.
Can you jerk off in there?
Yeah, you can pull it off.
Yeah,
every once in a while.
Are the fifis for real?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, you know, dudes get to that point. You know what I mean?
So how do they gather the materials to create a fifi?
Dude, like they're way more creative than you are in jail.
No, dude, I have the best kit here.
Yeah, you probably do, but like you know, in there, like, you know, they get latex gloves and you know they get like, you know, I can't believe I'm talking about this stuff. Shampoo and like, you know, water and like, you know what I'm
saying?
Wait,
they use shampoo?
Yeah, like that's like, you know, the closest thing to like, you know,
lubrication.
Yeah.
They use shampoo?
Yeah, I mean they do. When you're in an environment like that, you have to get super creative.
Oh, that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
You know, they use
so
like
there's
the
no
whole...
Vaseline in there?
No, dude. No.
I'm sorry. I don't know,
no,
man.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's no. What about lotion?
Yeah, they get lotion.
Then
why not
use lotion?
Well, you know, not everybody can afford it.
But
probably.
What do they do with this? What's the purpose of the sock? Because don't you have to put the latex glove?
That's like, you know, that's the
that's the outer.
That's the catch. You know what I'm saying?
That's a catch.
That's the catch.
And
that's
then how do they keep it together? Do they use rubber bands?
Yeah. What do you call it? It's the to the gloves, right? The latex gloves,
yeah,
like, you know, like
I just showed you mine.
Yeah, like, you know, the
the
elastic
latex, yeah.
At the end of the gloves, yeah.
Oh, they use that?
Yes.
That's ingenious. Yeah. So they cut that out and they tie that a knot.
Yeah.
I've
seen them, but you know, like personally, I've never used one in jail.
Dude, that'd be cool if that Instagram page of just fifis.
Yeah, right?
An Instagram page of just fifis.
I'm telling you, like
that.
Dude,
holy moly.
I'm telling you, you know how like you do these vlogs, right? You do these vlogs about all.
Yeah, man, go check out my vlogs, man. Man, tune it out on me, man. I get the real shit here, dude. Like you know, please,
dude.
Fuck, man.
Are you still
what
doing?
Do I
your,
need to get Jim Carrey in this motherfucker?
Do you still get what do you call? Do you still get stuff sent to your
this
PO box?
Is what I like doing. The homies here talking, dude. I'm in the most comfortable with you. Here,
right?
Because it's like It's like a lot of these guests. I have to really like. I gotta do research. And so, when does your special drop? What's your process like? You know, I'm sick of doing this. Like, I'm like, I want to get more of this. I want to kind of maybe I'll do the soft white underbelly, but like B sides. Like, you know, like I won't have the production value, but maybe I'll. I don't know. I like doing this, getting the real. You know, it's more relatable to me. You know.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, man. I got you a cheeseburger after this. Whatever you want to do, I got you. Hey, dude, we got to do part 2, 3, 4. But I want to stress how talented you are as far as your production, man. And I think you still got it, okay?
Hey, I mean,
dude, like,
let me ask you.
If there's, because there might be, because I've had like artists on here, man. Dudes, we used to, dude, that's another trip. And I'm not knocking, I like them in here because that's like, oh, I can't believe this dude's in here. And I've had, you know, the Grouch has been here.
Oh, really?
Satch from the Nonce has been here.
Damn.
Red Maddox's been here.
Hey, that's why, man.
Z-Trip's been here. Like, if I had.
It's an honor and privilege to
be here,
brother.
You know what I mean? But you, I look at you the same or even, you know what I mean? Because I know how talented you are. You know, so I'm saying, like, if there's any artists out there that does production beats and or artists that are looking, you know, for the Relayer type production, how do they get a hold of you?
The only thing that I really have right now to get a hold of me would just be my Gmail.
No, but you're on Instagram.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
Well, you know, I have my Instagram is
plug that because they could start following you on that.
Or is it my TikTok?
No. You have an Instagram because you reached me through Instagram too.
Is it Fob Marley?
Let me get my phone out because I want to make sure we got this straight. Yeah, but anyway, because you know, man, I would, you know what I would love? I mean, focus on recovery first, but dude, because I know because we've already started talking.
Dude,
we already started talking about music and stuff because I'm working.
Yeah, Fob Marley with two B's.
So Sean's Instagram, I'm telling you, man, I want you to start, because I want you to start, I know you don't care about any of this stuff, but I want you to start eventually doing your music again. So it's FOBBMARLEY, Fob Marley with two it's that for right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Until
he
changes it eventually.
Or, you know, you could
Fob Marley with two B's. Dude, I want you to my hope for you, bro. Because I know that you're the most out of all these, dude, you have the most love for, dude, you're OG, bro. Like at this point, you've been doing beats. Dude, I bet you money if you had an NPC in here right now, dude, you would be able to just do shit on it and be like, hey, this is what I came up with.
Well, let me ask you this, man. Okay, you know, recently I just sent you a file, right?
It's a banger. Can I play it? It's a banger.
Yeah, maybe.
Let me play it. It's a banger, dude. And I said it's a banger. I'm like, oh, dude. And then that, can I play it?
If you want to. You know what I mean? But like, see.
Wait, hold up. Can you shut it up a little?
And that's a track that I just threw together, man. You know?
I like the build up. It's coming. And the drums. It's coming.
Plenty more where that came from.
Dude, the thing about you two, like, we're going to, you know, we'll start wrapping things up. But you've always had, like, it kind of reminds me of fusion of, like, DJ Muggs mixed with the dude from Mobb Deep that, you know, like, the dark, there's a dark, melancholy darkness looming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it
right?
gives you that, when you listen to it, it like, gives you, like, you know, a grimace, like.
It's almost like, it's almost like just...
It's dark.
The darkness, but there's...
Moody.
Yeah, there's a mood to it. And then you always said, like, if it's the head nod, you're like, oh, wow, like, you know?
You know, I've you know, now that, like, you know, I have a little bit of, like, you know, clarity in my head, right?
Yeah.
I always like to stick, like, you know, to a certain kind of a formula, you know?
You've always had that.
It's just like, you know, it's keeping it simple. And using sparse elements, you know what I'm saying? Like the neck snapping, like type, like drum breaks.
How do you sequence? I mean, you don't have to give out the secrets, but like, how are you? Cause I could tell you spend a lot of times on your drums.
Yeah.
Like how do you?
Not really, man.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I just like what I like. Right. You know, and,
are you playing that out? Like,
No, I'm programming it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, because that sounds like you're playing it out. You know, it sounds like you did that on NPC or something.
No, it's like, you know, I'm doing it like playing everything all at once and then just dropping things out here and there.
Yeah.
But you know, like that's just, man, like there's plenty more where that came from, man. I'll tell you like that. And you know, now that I have some clarity, right? And I am trying to put like, you know, things in perspective now. You know, I'm putting God first, my recovery next.
I'm saying eventually after. I mean, I want you to do that definitely, but through time, if you keep doing this, staying on this path, I want you to eventually,
man, I'm telling
get
you,
back
bro,
into music.
Like, so, you know, I mean, it's something that like is definitely like, you know, always gonna be with me, man. And, it's just like riding a bike or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And you know, being able to have like some free time and to do these things, because, you know, like I said, man, God first, recovery next.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then everything else will just fall into place the way it's supposed to.
Do you have access to beat making? Like, do you have the capability of doing stuff?
Yeah. Okay. You know, and like, you know, I'm currently like, you know, in the process of maybe looking for like external equipment, you know, maybe even going back to school to like pursue you know, like,
well, I'm
going to
send you off
media.
When the cameras are off. I'll send you off for something, because I know that you like to tinker with like new things. I have a couple things that I could just get, you know, in this box. I'll be like, hey, here, make something out of this.
What about you, man?
Well, we'll do that for part two. Dude, it's way past. Dude, I love you, man. I'm so happy. Fucking,
likewise,
I'm
brother.
So happy you're sober, dude. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Soft White Underbelly, Stevie Weepy Edition.
Shout out to Fred Brown.
Yeah. If you want to help support the platform, go to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. I do another podcast called Scissor Bros. Those episodes drop every Friday. Go to youtube.com/Scissor Bros. If you want to send any packages, I still have to open those. Be patient with me, guys. It's been kind of hectic here. I do have packages there. I'm going to do a unboxing video later, probably tomorrow or the next day. So I know it's been 2 months. Send all your stuff to, if you want to send anything to the podcast, send it to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Is there anything else you want to say?
Love you, Mom.
Yeah. And Navarro's, then Larry, we love you.
Navarro's, Larry.
Yeah.
Lawrence, love you, brother.
Yeah.
And Andrew, Ramen Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll talk, part two, we'll talk about the Ramen Brothers production group.
Oh, yeah. One more. Yeah, yeah. Daniel B., my guy.
Yeah.
Love you.
Let's get a cheeseburger.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.